You gotta hear before it happens, believe before it happens, receive before it happens. You got to know it's gonna happen, so it seems it won't be. But God said this one's on me. I know it's hard to see, but God said this one's on me. But God said, sometimes it's hard to see, but oh, God said, hold me. Gotta see it before it happens, believe before it happens, see it before it happens. You got to know.
All the reasons. Oh, got the time to go off course. This is not the time to lose your focus. Got a word for you for the Lord, and you cannot afford to lose your way. You come too far from where you started, so please don't let the time you stole be wasted on things that you later regret, wishing you never.
But where are you? I'm all churched out, hurt and abused. I can't say what's left to do.
Come on.
Truth is I'm weak, no strength to fight, no tears to cry. Even if I try, but still my soul refuses to die. Mm-hmm. One touch will change my life. Take me to the King. I don't have much to breathe.
Missionary Kenneth Wolfgang.
And I'm Emily Barnum.
And we're Blind Trucking of Ashtabula, Ohio.
Keep your hands on the wheel.
And your eyes on the road.
And we support this program.
Here on the Six Eyes
Radio Network.
Worship you alone, blessed Savior, my God, from the depths of my heart, I'll give all praise and honor to you, O matchless King. Yeah. Worship you,
worship you alone.
Blessed Savior,
oh
Lord. From the depth of my heart, yeah,
I give all praise
and honor to you, O matchless King. There is no one like you in all the earth. I'll praise and magnify your name. Ooh.
There is no one like
nobody like you.
We got our good faithful listener, Emily's stepdad, and of course me and Ruth.
All right. I'm gonna let y'all keep working. I'll play a couple of music. I my board won't show, and I'm traveling, so it could be that the signal is intermittent, and so I don't want to mess the music up. Been playing some wonderful music right now. Let's go to testimony and go back to music. Can we do that?
All right. Why don't we just go ahead with a few testimonies of those who would like, and I want to kick it off real quick here. I just want to thank the Lord that he's given me the skill and ability that he's given me. That, you know, that he's just given me the ability that he has and that he's given me another day. So I just want to thank him today for everything that he's blessed me with, and I know that I'm blessed and highly favored. Amen.
Amen, amen. Am I coming through clear?
You're coming through perfectly. You're coming through perfectly fine, Pastor Bonnet.
Okay. Again, I'm traveling, and I don't know. The board is only showing me so much, and so I'm not sure. I can't hear myself like I would be if I was at the house in front of my regular laptop, but I want to testify for the testimony. You know, I love the song. I believe I testify while I have a chance. I want to testify that, and I'm giving God glory because the Bible says, in all things, give thanks. And so this is one of those moments I want to give thanks, and even though it costs me, I still want to give thanks. Most of you know I had to get a new vehicle for my business, and probably about 9-10 days after I got it, the driver's window would not go back up. The motor went out in it, and I knew it was the motor because we had to pull it to get it up, and it wasn't the switch, it was the motor. But I've been so busy trying to keep up with my new clients and trying to keep my electrical part going during the day and then my as well as the lawn service as it's been developing, and I give God praise for that. And it's been a challenge, so I had to take the vehicle in. And the first, I'm sorry, my testimony is in two parts. One part, my son got married on Saturday, my oldest son, and it was a wonderful turnout. I was able to officiate the service, and we had a wonderful time celebrating this new union. And so I want to thank God for that. And I had to take my vehicle to the shop Monday. They scheduled me to go Monday, and they were telling me that the motor and the parts that go with the motor sometimes can be one part altogether. You have to change one, you have to change the motor, and they can be very expensive. And at first, you know, I'm thinking $300. At the max, but the bill ended up being almost $600. The company decided, you know, since it was newly purchased, that they at least go half with me on the payment. And so I only had to pay $301. Which was a lot to me, but I want to say thank you, God, because I had it. So many times we get frustrated when we have to pay certain bills and we don't have it. And so I just want to tell God thank you for at least I did have it. It's been time in my past when things was needed where I didn't have it. But at least this time God allowed me to have what I need so I can keep moving forward. And so that's my testimony. I give God praise for it. It's a bittersweet, but the sweet part is at least he gave me what I needed.
Amen. That's a great testimony. And Ruth, do you got one?
I always want to praise the Lord for being my Savior. And today's been a kind of rough day, but, you know, he always brings you through whatever you're going through. So I just want to praise and bless his name forever.
Amen. All right. Well,
amen.
This song I think that we got coming up is quite appropriate. It says it's worth fighting for. Amen.
All right. Amen. Wonderful.
You met me deep in my despair to show me you would never leave me there. You claim because I was made for so much more. I am your child, and I'm worth fighting for. No heavy with the weight of my mistakes, you carried me and refused to let me sink under the pressure you meant for me to soar. I am your child, and I'm worth fighting for. Eyes haven't seen, ears haven't heard all you have planned for me, and nothing can separate me from your love. When there's so much more still worth fighting for. Now I'm moving by faith and not by sight towards victory. By the power of your might, you're straightening out my path. Don't think every door, I am your child, and I'm worth fighting for.
Nothing can separate me from your love.
When there's so much more, yes,
worth fighting for.
Eyes haven't seen, ears haven't heard all your plans
for
me,
and nothing
can separate me from your love. The calling on my life is worth fighting for, and I'll keep my mind stayed on you, Jesus, because the peace it brings is worth fighting for. And I'll be faithful to my wife and children, because my family is worth fighting for. No, this world is not your kingdom here is worth fighting for. I got a mansion over in glory, and my new home is worth fighting for. Till I see it, I'll shout out hallelujah here, hallelujah life.
There's something about waiting we don't like. We naturally become impatient because we're living in a world where not only do we want it now, we can have it now. But that's not the way it is with God. Do you value God's choice enough to wait?
What is the church? Is the church a building? Is the church a pastor? Or the staff? Is the church the music? The tradition or the ministries? These are all good things, but they are not the church. Take them away and the church is still here. Why? Because you are still here. The church is you. The church is you with a purpose. The church is you on a mission. The church is you with a plan. A simple plan to plug into God at a weekend service. To charge up in a small group community. To live out using your gifts and passions. And to pass on your faith to those who do not know Christ. When you and I live like this, all the things we used to do in church become things we do as the church. God desires it. The world needs it. And we are called to be it. What is the church? The church is you.
Amen.
The favor of God stops your being manipulated by the circumstances. People say, well, under the circumstances, so-and-so. Well, what are you doing under the circumstances? With the favor of God, you're supposed to be on top of the circumstances. Stop being manipulated by circumstances. Stop worrying about the unknown. Some of you are young, and you're worried about the unknown. Stop it. If you have favor with God, it will be well with you. It will be well with your children. It will be well with all you put your hands to, because the favor of God is already in the future, working out the future. Things you don't even know are about to happen. God has already straightened them out in your behalf, because you and you and you are favored of God.
Amen. The favor of God. Amen. You are favor of God. That's something that we all can just take joy and solace in, to know that God favored me. I think that track is on the board, God favored me. You can find that. That's wonderful. But to know that the favor of God is in your life, it gives you an unspeakable joy. To know that you are not alone. It's to let you know that you don't have to worry about things overtaking you, that the favor of God will show up in the right time. Sometimes things happen in life and we don't know why they happen. And is for us to begin to trust God. I'm reminded of the story of Job. The Bible said that Satan was found in the midst of the sons of God. And the Lord looked over at him and said, "Where have you been?" And he said, "I've been going to and forth throughout the earth, looking for someone worthy for me to tell." And he said to him, "How have you considered my servant Job?" Now, most of us would think, "Wow, why would God send him out like that?" But you ever seen a proud father who boasts on his children? "My child can do this. My child is a great boxer. My child is a great wrestler. My child is a great baseball player, whatever." And he'll begin to put his child against anybody. I like the story of Job because it showed that God had confidence in Job to allow things to happen at its worst. And he knew in himself that Job would never give up on him. He allowed Job to go through this, what we call horrific trial, this tremendous tribulation. Because in one day, Job lost all his children. And in another day, he lost his livestock. And over a course of time, he lost his health. He lost everything but his marriage. And in the beginning, he maintained his faith. He said, "Naked I came into this world, naked I shall depart. Blessed be the name of the Lord." And things got so bad to even his wife began to doubt. Even his wife began to wonder what was really going on. So she had lost hope, and she said, "Job, you might as well curse God and die." In her mind, you know, you're not dying, so you might as well just go ahead and curse him so he'll take you all out of here. And Job's simple response to her was, "Woman, you sound foolish." In other words, number one, I'm not going to curse God. Number two, if God was ready for me to go, I'd be already gone. And so he maintained that. He maintained his faith and trust in God. Now, a short period of time afterwards, three of his best friends, who was wealthy themselves, who had wherewithal, who was supposed to have a relationship with God themselves, they came and being with him, and if y'all hear this extra noise, that's the rain, and once again, I am traveling. His friends, instead of comforting him, instead of encouraging him, they simply began not even speaking to him. They didn't say nothing. They just looked at him, and they probably looked at him in condescending ways. The Bible said that they looked at him for about 3 days and didn't say a word. And after a period of time, when they did talk to him, the only thing that they could say is, "You must have sinned. You must have done something wrong." I want to say right here on that note, just because bad things happen to you, just because things happen unfavorable to you, it does not mean that you have sinned against God. It does not mean that you have done something wrong. Many times when bad things happen to us, the first thought is, "What did I do wrong? What am I being punished for? God is out to get me, and we start having these negative thoughts. And that should not be your first thought, because if you're serving God from your heart every day, then whatever has come your way, God has already deemed it to be enough for you to handle. He had already deemed it so that it would not, in other words, he already put a limitation on it that it would not overtake you or overwhelm you. Well, brother preacher, what about when people do get overwhelmed? That don't mean the circumstances were overwhelming. That means they allowed their mind to be overwhelmed. Just because situations are hard, challenges are hard, but it's in diversity do we learn ingenuity, do we learn new ways, and we find new strength. It is in challenges that we have in life that we find out what's truly on the inside of us. Sometimes you will never, never, never know truly whether or not you can lift 200 pounds until they put 202 on the box and say push. And so a lot of times you don't know what you can truly do. But I like to say this, that when trials come, that may be a favor of God to let you know that he made you stronger than what you realize. He is stronger in you than you realize. Especially when you've been applying the word of God in your life. You've been trusting him day by day. You're praying. You're encouraging others. Truly, you got to understand, number one, that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down the stronghold. So we have to learn that sometimes what we're going through is merely the test to show the world. Because God really knows himself. But the only way we know is when, as they say, the rubber meets the road. And so it's in the trial do we know what we can truly handle. Go ahead and play me another track, Missionary 10.
You only said God in me, right? Trial.
Yes, sir.
Okay, we got it ready. Here we go.
You're listening to The Sound.
Everybody running, trying to figure out why. You're so cool, cool. We're not a time. Everywhere you go, man, you get it all the time. You're like a magnet, ready at a habit. Everything you wear, people see you got a habit. From the sweat suit to the white tee to the boots, see, you're the prophet, say people want.
encourage you right there. It's the God in you. It's the God in you. How much God do you have in you? Wow. Wait a minute. Did you say how much God is in me? How can you say that, Brother Kenneth? How can you say how much God is in me? Well, I'm simply asking, are you full of God or are you almost empty? What do you mean, Brother Kenneth? Well, this is what I mean. You know, in the beginning of the week, I usually, or at some point in the week, I go to the gas station. And I fill my vehicle all the way up with gas because I know in order for me to drive my vehicle, I must have petrol. I must have gas in it so that I can travel where I need to go. So I'm asking a question on a spiritual manifestation that how much God is in you spiritually. Because just like we need food in our bodies that we may have energy to function, should not we have God in us so that our spirit man can also function? Have you ever felt tired and just really didn't understand that you know that you went to sleep and you went to sleep and you slept 8 hours and you thought you had good rest and you thought everything was fine? You woke up, and as soon as you got ready to go to work, it seemed like you didn't sleep at all. Your body felt tired. It felt heavy. You felt mentally drained. It was hard to focus. A lot of times we think that is mental fatigue, and it could be. But what if it was just spiritual starvation? Yes, spiritual starvation. You know, we'll feed our minds television, the internet, news, video games, and all kind of stuff. But how often do we feed ourselves the spiritual word of God? How often do we consume the word? That's food for thought. So the next time you're tired and you thought that you should have had enough strength to carry out that day, just think maybe it's not the outer man that's tired, it's the inner man or that inner person. For you women, that is your inner woman that is tired. So maybe your spiritual person is in need of refilling. We talk about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We talk about there's one baptism, but many refilling. In other words, the Holy Spirit comes in your life and he's there. But then there's other opportunities where you need him to have that explosion. You need to have that strength. And the only way he can have that strength is when you are feeding your body the word of God and you're fasting and praying on a regular basis so that your spiritual man will have the strength that he needs to perform. Sister Ruth, play me a track of your choosing. And so feed your spiritual man. there was a movie back in the day called Little Shop of Horrors, and there was this plant, and one of the famous
feed me,
Seymour. So I just want you to know, there's a little plant down inside of you called your soul. And he's every now and then, he bites you and say, feed me, Seymour. You remember that movie too, brother.
Well,
but again, I know you
Pastor Bonnet, we got a song that'll take you back in the church a little bit, and we hope you enjoy this one.
All right. I will.
Way in the water, wait in the water, children, wait in the water,
the water,
wait in the water,
children,
wait in the water.
Well, the preacher's just going to be honest with you.
So many people try to be. I am not the smartest person in the world. I am simply a son of the Most High, who is a faithful servant, and who is willing to share all that God has given me. And so I'm willing to share today. This story here in Daniel is, it takes place where, well, let's just read it. It says, in the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, unto Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, in his hand, with part of the vessels of the house of God, which he carried out of the land of Shinar to the house of his God. And he brought the vessels into the treasure house of his God. And the king spoke unto the master of the eunuch, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel and of the king's seed and of the princes, children of whom was no blemish, but well favored and skillful in all wisdom and cunning and knowledge and understanding science, and such as had ability in them to stand in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans. Verse 5. And the king appointed them daily provision of the king's meat and of the wine which he drank, no nourishing them for 3 years, that at the end thereof they may stand before the king. Now among these were the children of Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Pause for just a moment. I want to just highlight, among these were the children of Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. These four names, we will later hear them as Belshazzar, Shadrach, and Abednego.
Meshach, you forgot
Meshach. Let me get Meshach, thank you. I'll pause there because I said, man, did I miss one? Yeah, I did. Thank you. See, that's why you need preachers in the pulpit with you, because they help you keep on track. Amen. Thank you, preacher. And so these four boys who was given names to honor their God, which is the God, the only God, when they was captured by the enemy, and they was given new names. They was given names to highlight a different God. Now, so names have purpose. Names have meaning. But regardless of your name, you must know whom your God is, so that if they call you the wrong name, you still will be serving the right God. Because there has been a many fights broken out because people have been called all kinds of names. But regardless to the name that you're called, the name that God has given you, the purpose that God has given you, and the relationship that you have with God, you don't allow nothing, no one to change it. We go on to find out they were young men that they was captured as teenagers. And for 3 years, they was nurtured a certain way. Now, we hear about one of the Daniel fast because they was determined, wait a minute, now we understand we are being captured. We understand that you're going to preserve our lives and you're going to teach us your language. But what we cannot do is we cannot defile ourselves with your food. Our commitment to our God is the diet that he gave us. And we're going to maintain that. So I think it's commendable and it's noteworthy that these was teenagers. These weren't full-grown men. These was teenagers who have made up in their mind, no matter what, I am going to serve God. And so if as teenagers, these young men, these young boys can have the relationship with God the Father to the point that they will not violate themselves, what's wrong with me and you when we violate ourselves doing any and everything contrary to taking care of ourselves? So we have a role model to look at in these teenage young men. Now, verse 8 says, but Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portions of the king's meat, nor the wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested prince of the eunuch that he might not defile himself. Now, God had brought Daniel into favor. God favored me. Hey, here you go again. That favor. Sometimes the favor of God. That's why I love that little commercial. The favor of God. The favor of God that you never really know. It is, again, in captivity, they find the favor of God. So he says, unto favor, tender love with the princes of the eunuch. And the prince of the eunuch said unto Daniel, I fear my lord the king, who has appointed me your meat and your drink. For why should he see your faces worse, likened than the children which of your sort? Then ye might endanger my head to the king. In other words, that I can lose my life if you don't look the way the king needs you to look. But they was determined. Listen, if we do what God say do, he going to make sure we look better. He going to make sure that we look the way we need to look. So many times, and how do that relate to today's timing? So many times today, the church is looking to the world to dress like the world, to drink like the world, to eat like the world. And this is not a message of condemnation. So please let that go. Therefore, now there is no condemnation to them that walketh not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So this is not a condemnation message. This is one of self-evaluation. Amen. One of the beautiful things of real relationship with God is God is not trying to condemn us, but he is bringing us into right living, right understanding. So when a word of correction comes, it only comes by, it only comes to illuminate a more excellent way of living, a more excellent way of thinking, so that we can fulfill the things that God wants for us. So many times in our life, we don't have what we need simply because we keep saying out of our mouth the wrong things. We don't know how to speak over ourselves or blessing over ourselves the right way. And so we get into the mentality like the world and begin to say things that they're saying versus what God has said. The danger for the believer is when we sound like the world versus sounding like our God. So let me go back to the text. So he said, then Daniel said to Melzar, whom the prince of the eunuch had set over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, prove thy servant, I beseech you, 10 days. And let them give pause to eat and water to drink. Then let our countenance be looked upon before thee, and the countenance of the children that eat the portion of the king meat, as thou seest deal with thy servant. He said, so as you, he said, give us 10 days to prove it, man. And the king want us for 3 years to eat his food. Give us 10 days to eat our way. And if we don't look better than them in 10 days, if we look worse than them, then you deal with us accordingly. So they have enough faith to even put their life on the line so that they may maintain their relationship with God. And so it blessed them. And at the end of 10 days, their confidence appeared, Pharaoh and Saturday in the flesh, and all that the children had did eat the portion of the king's meat. So they was blessed after that. Now, at the end of those days, the king said that should bring them, the princes of the eunuch brought them before Nebuchadnezzar. Verse 19. And the king commended them, and among them all was found. None was like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Therefore stood they before the king. Our lesson to learn that if some teenage boys, some young men, can make a decision to stick with their understanding of a solid relationship with God and trust God to keep them healthy, to keep them strong, to keep them safe, how much more should we trust God? How much more should we depend on God? So we have to be careful when we started looking at other people in the world and started, you know, thinking they got the better car, they got the better house, they got the better this, the better that. And they may have materially, in the natural, they may have the finer things, but you don't know their soul. You don't know the destination of their soul. And the Bible said, what will a man give in exchange for his own soul? Many people that got all of this and that may have sold their souls to get it. But I still love Matthew 6:33. Seek first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness. And all these things, all what things? Everything that you will need shall be added unto you. You didn't have to steal it. You didn't have to con for it. You didn't have to beg for it. You didn't have to bargain with it. We don't have to bargain with God. Well, Lord, you know, if you do this, then, Lord, I do that. No. God's word is full of promises. When we obey the word of God, the blessings are loaded in them. I like baked potatoes. Nothing like a good baked potato. But when you first take that potato, you got to put it in the oven and put a slit in it and just let it bake. And allow the inside to get softened. And so it may be good to some people just like that. It may be fine to some people. They may just add a little salt to it, a little pepper to it. They may say, ooh, this baked potato good. Something about when you can put a little extra butter, real butter, genuine butter, not margarine, butter in that baked potato. It's something about when you are able to get some shredded cheese, some of that good shredded cheese, and then some sour cream, and then some turkey bacon. Amen. And take you some little pieces of green onion, some chives, and dice them up real tight and sprinkle them across the top. Man, now you got a load of baked potato. When you get into the word of God, that's what you just did. You took your ordinary potato and you just loaded it up. About a good loaded potato, and if you get one, it could be a meal by itself. Amen, somebody. And so when we get into the word of God, we'll find out that God's word keeps adding to us. Why? Because God wants us loaded. Why? Because he's sending us out into the world. And just like a soldier that goes on the battlefield, his weapons are loaded. They have the ammunition so that they may continue to fight. So God's word loads us so that we can get the victory. I heard this before. I read this before. It's in the end of Revelation, and it simply says we win. What? That means the fight that we're fighting today is fixed. And if we stick to the strip that God has given us, victory is guaranteed. So you don't have no trouble. All you need is faith. Who was that? R.W. Shambach back in the day. All you need is faith in God. So I encourage you with those words today. You don't have no trouble. No. And one more thing to all those that like to use this phrase. Oh, I got a cold. Excuse me, believer. Child of God, you do not own colds. No. You do not own coals. Coals are not blessings. So, you may have caught a coal, but just like you caught a coal, drop it. By his stripes, you are healed. So you don't own any affliction. Know ye not that your bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit? So, as the Apostle Paul said, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, bodies, a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable. I mean, he's not asking for something unreasonable. God is not asking for something that you cannot do. But what he's asking from you and me, others, is to first take him at his word, to trust him. You know, the greatest faith or the greatest testimony of righteousness is to trust God's word. In fact, we read even in Romans how they reflected back Abraham and said that because he believed God and wavered not, it was counted to him as righteousness. It was counted. In other words, it wasn't that Abraham was without error. It wasn't that he was so perfect and upright. But what made him a righteous man was the fact that he believed God. Do you believe God? Then, if you do, if God said it, that settles it. If God said it, that settles it. And that's the proof of what we believe. Oftentimes, we get caught up in this world because we live in the world. We walk in our flesh, but we forget that we are spiritual beings. We just have on a body. A flesh suit. We have on a suit that's going to decay. So our battles, our fight, many times is not with what's going on in this world, but it's that tug of war on the inside of us on what to do and why to do. Missionary Ken, help me. The text that says, he said, oh, wretched man that I am, when I would do good, evil was present. I know that.
I know that's in Romans somewhere, but I'm not sure exactly.
Okay, it is in Romans. So, and I got other calls coming in. It's making my search engine not work. So, the Apostle Paul was speaking on, he said, when I would do good, evil was present. Let me see. I got to open my text. He said, when I would do good, evil was present. He said, so I found in myself a law working against my members. And then that's when he said, oh, wretched man that I am, when I would do good, evil was present. The good that I would do, I would not, and what I would not, that I do. And so he has this conversation. He's talking to them, and he's teaching about the dual nature of man. That with my mind, I ought to obey the word of God because I know the word. But in my flesh, I do what it wants to do. And so for us as believers, it's really not to fight against our neighbors, our enemies, or even the devil. A real fight is against that dual nature working within us. And so our enemy is the enemy. Our greatest enemy can be the enemy. We must fight ourselves. We must overcome ourselves. You ever hear somebody say, get over yourself? Usually meant as a good insult, as a person who's thinking more of themselves than they should. But it actually can be a very true statement. Sometimes we just need to get over ourselves. Sometimes we think, oh, B-Man, every time I turn around, nobody's talking about me. Okay, get over yourself. You're not that important for everybody to talk about you all the time, every day. So get over yourself. Those are negative thoughts that come in our mind that cause us to miss what God is really saying to us, what God is really having for us. And those are the battlefields of the mind. The enemy will plant seeds of doubt and discord in our heart. And if we allow those seeds to germinate in our mind, in our hearts, then they will grow, and they will grow, push out all the good that God has planted. And we'll live life blaming others, and we'll live life in regret and disappointment and grief, not realizing that it was only a test. And it was one that was designed for us to overcome. It was one that was designed so that, as the book says, in the end, we win. So I think that if you knew, Missionary Ken, that tomorrow at 5:15 on the dot, you were going to be instantly a millionaire, that you were going to have $1 million. And the only catch to it is you had to be at your front door at that moment, period. If you knew that ahead of time, you knew it was going to be $1 million. But you had to be at your front door 5:15, not 5:16, not 5:17, and certainly not 5:20, but 5:15. You might would fall asleep at your door now and would not move. Even though you knew that you had time in between to go to the restroom, you probably, for $1 million, you probably would not let nobody, you said, just in case they come early. You probably wouldn't let nothing hinder you from moving out of that spot. But if you didn't know that it was going to be $1 million, and somebody said, hey, Mom, man, you need to be at your door at 5:15. Got something for you. And you're going to do everything and anything, and you're not going to think about it. And you're just going, you know, you're like, well, you know. Because there's no expectation. Even though you know something is coming, you have no real hope for it. So you're not going to go out your way to make sure that you're there at 5:15. In fact, you may show up 5:17. And you show up 5:17, you're like, man, I do it. See, they wasn't need there. Times in our life, God had blessings with our name on it. But because we don't know what it is, it hasn't been identified, we didn't value it. We just, well, it's going to be a blessing. We didn't understand that every blessing of God is to bring us up a level. Every blessing of God is to produce more in us and more through us. Every blessing of God that happens for us is that we may be able to bless others and that we may be able to do more. So we have to understand the value of the Word of God, period, because we don't know what it may hold for us. So let us move forward with tomorrow with great expectation of God doing something great. We never know when or what God wants to give us. What I do know is we must be in the right location to receive it. We must be in the right position to receive it. You know, when people are throwing out candy in a crowd of people, everybody's hands is turned upward, palm of their hands. Why? Because they are ready to receive. And so as you pray tonight and as you get up in the morning, I'm going to ask you to turn your palms upward. After you tell God thank you, turn your palms upward. Why? Because you don't know what God is about to pour out. So be ready to receive. Be empty enough so that God can pour into you. But be willing enough to pour it out on others so that God can continue to use you. That's my word of encouragement for you all tonight. Allow me this opportunity to pray. And Missionary Ken, you can come with another track. Father God, I just thank you tonight for our listeners. I thank you for the team of the 6 Eyes Radio Network. Thank you for Missionary Ken and his wife, Sister Ruth. God, we just thank you, Lord God, for fellowship, period. Thank you for Brother Charles, who you gave this platform to. And it has given and opened the doors of opportunity for us to reach so many homes and so many places that we know not. And so, Father, we pray for all of our listeners on tonight. We ask that you would bless them in their hearts and in their minds, to give them the mind to want to wait on you, to desire to trust you even more, to be patient. For they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. So God, give them to understand all things work together for the good of them that love you, Lord, and are the called according to your godly purposes. And so God, as we prepare to go to sleep tonight, God, we thank you for the strength that you gave us to make it through the day. We pray your safety, provision over us as we sleep. Don't allow the death angel to take us. And please don't allow the thief nor the robber to bother our possession or to take them. But God, as we arise in the morning, please allow our mind to be on you. And help us to go out to get the wherewithal that we need in our lives. Whether it be wherewithal for finances, wherewithal for ministry, wherewithal for our families or our friends. Whatever the need may be, help us to go out to get it, turn with it. Lord, we pray for Sister Emily to have favor in her circumstance, her situation that she's dealing with now. Give her patience. Quiet her heart. Comfort her. And Lord God, we just ask that you will soften the hearts of those that are making a tough decision here, making a situation harder than what it may should be. So we pray for your favor in the midst of it. Give her what to say and how to say it. And as you do it, we thank you. And God, we lift up those that are on our sick list today, those that are dealing with cancer, those that are dealing with high blood pressure, low blood pressure, diabetes, those that are dealing with arthritis, those that are dealing with MS and other syndromes that's attacking their bodies. Lord God, other ailments that's causing them to have heart disease, lung disease, kidney disease, oh God. God, we just pray now that you will heal their bodies even now. I believe your word. You said that you was wounded for our transgressions. You was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was laid upon you. And by your stripes, Jesus, we were healed. So we receive healing into our bodies today. Lord God, as they place those thorns on your head, I believe those thorns signify the healing from mental illness and anything that attacks the mind. So Lord God, as you overcome the pressure of the mind, give them to overcome the pressures in their mind. Give us to overcome the challenges that we make harder than what it is. Help us today. Help us to come up in our mind, our understanding, and our thinking. And we pray this, Lord God, and we believe it to be so. Pray for those, Lord God, that are sidetracked, that have gotten their eyes off of you, and have focused on the things of the world. We remind them of Lot's wife. And we pray for them that they do not become something worthless. And so, God, we lift them up before you that you will touch their hearts, touch their minds, give them the desire to want to be saved, and help them to confess, what must I do to be saved, and to do it so that their soul may be saved in the name of Jesus. And as you do it, Father, we say thank you. Thank you now. We love you. Thank you for our peace. Amen. Amen and amen. We got a few more minutes here. Missionary Kim, since you started us out, man, I want to say again publicly, thank you so very much for picking up the gap there and helping me carry on, and I truly appreciate you. And so any last words, they're yours, and we're out of here for the night.
Well, I just want to say it was a good message, and speaking of praying with your hand or palm up there, Pastor Bonnet, something that I do when I'm praying a lot, especially in the light of one need that we have for our blind ministry, we got, you've seen those Hot Wheels cars, right?
Okay. Yeah.
We got one that's of a bus, like a school bus, and I put that in my hand because it represents the bus that we need for our blind ministry so we could go blind school to blind school, blind camp to blind camp, and do witnessing for the Lord.
Oh, wow.
So we're believing God that he's gonna get some churches together or whatever and help us to get that bus.
Man, I like that. That's wonderful, and that's to our listeners, that's a way of praying, man. Sometimes you gotta you what you're desiring, you put it before the Lord. Amen. If you got some bills that you can't manage, you don't know how to manage them, gather them bills together and get down on your knees and pray over them. Ask God for the wisdom of them. He'll do
it. Because remember Hezekiah himself, when he had that other king coming after him and he was writing these letters to Hezekiah, he laid those letters out before the Lord and he prayed about it.
Wow, yeah. See, man, wow. Yeah. See, woo, that's another faith. I'm going to leave that comment alone because I've been going to start preaching all over again. That's good. That is so good. Man, once again, I enjoyed it. I enjoyed talking with you all. Enjoyed the music. Great selections. And to our listeners, hey, if you want to donate money to help keep these programming going, you're more than welcome to do so. Missionary Ken to give you that information. And write the station, right? Go to Blog Talk and put a comment down in there. Look up Motivational Monday there and drop your comment in there. If you got a question for me, ask me in that outline, and we'll do our very best to respond to you. And we're praying for you. We're praying with you. And once again, we love you with the love of Christ. And all right, Missionette Ken, close us out, sir.
Okay, and as you were mentioning what we're going to do, we'll give them the information on how they could give a donation. And then we're going to close them out with a final track, which is a hymn, which everybody knows. And so here's the information. If you'd like to keep shows like this on the air, you got two options that you can do it with. First off, those of you who use the PayPal platform, you go, of course, to paypal.com. And then while you're on there, you enter the email address, 6i6@gmail.com. Again, that's SIXEYES, the digit number 6, at gmail.com. Again, SIXEYES, the digit number 6, at gmail.com. For you Cash App users, you enter $ SIXEYES, the digit 2, the digit 4, again, $SIXEYES, the digit 2, digit 4, and in both cases, you enter the amount of your love gift in there, and God will greatly, richly, and most honorably, yes, bless you for your love gift. And we here at the Six Eyes Radio Network thank you very, very much. And so we're going to close with this hymn, and everybody that knows it can sing along as we close out tonight.
Well. The sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now
Praise God.